This is Oklahoma Perspective. Recently, KRMG sponsored a Women in Business Luncheon. Several prominent local businesswomen spoke at the conference, including Meredith Peoples, who is the Chief Operating Officer of the Lobeck Taylor Family Foundation. After the conference, KRMG's April Hill spent some time with Peoples and talked to her about the goals of the Lobeck Taylor Family Foundation.
For people who don't know, tell us what the Lobeck Taylor Family Foundation does.
Yeah, absolutely. So we are essentially a grant maker in the community. So our organization is really fortunate that we get to help support nonprofits and run nonprofit programs in the community that are focused on entrepreneurship, economic opportunity, and community development. So like I said, we make grants to nonprofit organizations that I'm sure people are super familiar with. And then we also run our own programs. So we just opened Mother Road Market at the end of November, which is last year, which is a nonprofit food hall. So we have all of these great startups, entrepreneurs in the food space in Tulsa that are potentially doing their first restaurant concept, their first brick and mortar, or transitioning from a food truck to their first, permanent location, or existing entrepreneurs that wanted to pivot and try a new concept. We have all of that under one roof. And the market's also home to Kitchen 66, which is our incubator focused on food businesses. So teaching people the business side of food. How do you price your cupcake to be a profitable business, right? What does labor look like in a food business? And then we also helped bring Kiva to Tulsa, so creating a community around the idea of microfinance and how, you know, small loans up to $10,000 at 0% interest especially can be transformational amounts of capital. And we run a pitch competition called the Tulsa Startup Series that helps provide small capital for startup, as well as mentorship and access to resources for entrepreneurs in our community. So we do some really cool things.
Yeah. What is it exactly? You said you loved your job. What is it exactly that you love about it?
Oh, so we've been interviewing interns this week. And so I've been asked this question a lot. And I have a really hard time honing in on just like one thing. There are a couple of things that I really love. So first and foremost, the people that I get to do this work with, I feel really, really fortunate that I'm surrounded by a team of people that are incredibly passionate about our community, incredibly passionate about the people that they're serving, and they work diligently and tirelessly to support them to the best of their ability. And so at the end of the day, you may have a really stressful day, but taking a step back and recognizing how committed and how passionate and driven everyone around you is on a mission, that's really encouraging. And that makes me want to go to work every day. I think the fact that we're also making an impact on the community, that's something that's also a huge driver and makes you want to come to work every day. You know, my work isn't for me, it's for Tulsa. And that, I think that's a really huge motivating factor and something I really love about my job. And frankly, no 2 days look alike. I was a second employee at the foundation, and now between all of our programs and projects, we have almost 50 employees, and that's in 3.5 years that we've scaled our organization like that. So my role has changed and continues to evolve along with our organization, and that's really lovely for me. I'm never bored. I'm never complacent. And for someone like myself, that's a really motivating factor and something I'm really grateful for.
So you've lived and worked in other cities. What is the business climate like for a woman here compared to the other places you've been?
So that's a little trickier for me to answer just because when I did my quick stint in Houston, when my husband got transferred, I frankly didn't get as connected into the community because I kept my job here, right? But what I can really speak to from visiting other communities and being plugged into being plugged in with organizations and other communities serving startups and serving the business community is it's pretty incredible if you take a step back and look in Tulsa. A lot of the individuals that are making like big differences in the startup community and in economic development in Tulsa are younger females. So Kyan Camus, who's the chief of economic development for the mayor, you know, she's a female in her 30s.
Excuse me.
Jennifer with Smith, and I can't remember her married name now. She's going to kill me. Hawkins, maybe, with the chamber. She's the vice president of entrepreneurship for the chamber, right? And she's a female in her 30s. And then you have people at, like my boss, Elizabeth, who's the CEO of our...
Allergies. Okay,
this
sorry.
Is terrible. You're totally fine. Spring in Oklahoma is no. so rough. Oh. I had a double ear infection last week. Oh. I was like, how do you even get that at our age? But no. managed to do that. Thank you, sinuses, allergies, goodness knows what else.
Okay, so where were we? I'm sorry.
No, you're totally fine. I was just remarking on, I think, how interesting it is that the climate in Tulsa is such that a lot of the women that are supporting some really big economic development initiatives from Cayenne at the city, Jennifer at the chamber, my boss, Elizabeth, they're all, you know, females in their 30s that are really making significant investments with their time and their resources and for some really big organizations in our community. I think that's really impressive. And I think that's a great thing if you're a female starting a business in Tulsa or growing a business in Tulsa, and you see that there are other women that are so actively working in the public space to try to help support what you're doing privately. I think that's really encouraging in a really unique landscape that our community has.
And what's your biggest challenge then?
Ooh. As an organization, me as an individual, all of the above. I think so organizationally, like in my role, for example, at our organization, constantly innovating like quick enough to keep pace with the innovation that startups are doing in our community is really challenging, but in a good way, right? I'm constantly trying to keep pulse and pace on what are the needs of our startup community? How can we pivot our organization, or what do we need to be doing differently or better to best support everyone that's trying to start a business in Tulsa? And that's, I recognize, like a wide group of people to try to be supporting, and you can't think that broadly, but you know, we want to be supporting and helping the most people possible with our programming and our grant making. And so constantly trying to see what's changing and how we evolve to meet that need is a challenge. So that's definitely a big challenge. I think for me personally, this is probably so lame to say, but balance is so hard, right? So when I was commuting back and forth between Houston and Tulsa, trying to be intentional with my time when I was home with my husband in Houston and not being distracted by work and some other things, being really present, that was challenging, especially when we were finishing Mother Road Market and I'm in graduate school. And so I just really struggle to give as much of myself as I want to all of the things that I'm involved in, my friends, my spouse, my career, graduate school, being a dog mom, right? Like all of those things, I want to give 100% of myself. And I think always constantly finding the appropriate balance of what to give of myself to whom and when and where and how, it's hard. And I don't feel like I'm ever doing a good job with it.
That's a theme I'm hearing with all the panelists in each interview.
That's interesting. I'm not surprised by that though.
And I think that companies are trying to focus more on that now, making sure their employees, our company is, I know.
Absolutely. And that's something Elizabeth talks to me about a lot is, you know, my capacity and balance. And I mean, because she's very cognizant of that for herself and therefore for our staff. And I'm really grateful that I work for someone that, like you're saying, right, is really trying to figure out how do we help our employees find that balance. And recognizing that having a whole, like looking at the whole person and making sure that your employees are viewed and function as whole people, not just as the work version of themselves, is critically important. But it's hard when you're someone that's really motivated by your career and wants to do a really good job, right? It's like there's that on-off switch is really, it's kind of broken for me. It gets stuck, right? It gets stuck in the on spot. I don't know how to get it off sometimes. So, but I mean, I think there's a layer of that that makes you, you know, it makes you the best version of yourself as a leader and as an employee, because people know how committed you are to your work and to the organization and to them. And I think, you know, so there's a part of that that's good, but also I have to reconcile that that's maybe not always the best example to be setting either, right? Because if we're working all the time, what does that say to our staff? Even if that's not our expectation we have for them, if that's what we're modeling, right? How do they, that's a hard thing for them to to reconcile for themselves and say, well, just because she's working a lot doesn't mean that that's the expectation for me, right?
Right. If you're sending them emails on the weekends, they think that they need to be responding
absolutely.
To your weekends.
Right. When really, in reality, I'm just trying to clean out my inbox because it's giving me anxiety to look at all the unread emails. So delay send is a really beautiful thing that I have discovered for myself, right?
Ooh.
Yes. Yes, delay send. So you can write an email, you can have it set to send at a specific time. And so I may be writing the email at noon on a Sunday, but I delay send it so you don't receive it till 9 a.m. on a Monday. So that's my like lovely trick, frankly, that helps me feel like I'm the most productive version of myself, but doesn't communicate anything to my team that makes them think that they need to be working on the weekends or at odd hours. Just because it's best for me doesn't mean that that's when they should be working. Yeah. So that's been a good little tool that I've added.
Use that.
Yeah, it's nice.
Okay, so is there anything going on right now or coming up with the foundation? Any kind of things you can share with us? Any exciting things?
So this is interestingly this year, I think we're really looking at, because of the rapid growth I talked about a little bit ago, going from 2 to 50 employees. And I mean, frankly, we were like 5 employees probably at this time last year, and now we're at 50. I mean, so we grew a ton with Mother Road Market. And so I think we're trying to really intentionally stabilize all of our programs so that we can continue to have really impactful and intentional growth for all of them, right? But probably no new projects necessarily in the short run, but I would never say never because I work for an incredible family of visionaries. So, you know, don't quote me on that. But I think, you know, we're really trying to figure out how do we use Mother Road Market as a catalyst for serving the community along Route 66, along 11th Street, right? And so we're getting access to a ton of people on a daily basis because we're really fortunate that the community has received that project with such open arms, and we have some great patrons of the space. And so I think we're always going to be looking to see, especially in the short term, how do we only continue to serve the community more, either through food or programming or whatever else, through Mother Road Market and any additional programs or projects that add on as a result of that. So
I notice a lot more buzz now going on from just around Mother Road Market on development and things.
Yeah. And that's which, you know, is so the hope. Anytime that you make the investment, you hope that other people then see the value in that neighborhood and in that space. And so I think we'll continue to see development along Route 66 for sure. And my hope is that we see people scaling out of the market and opening their own businesses, you know, standalone along Route 66, and just continuing to see business startup really happening, and with Mother Road Market being the catalyst for that, hopefully.
I mean, think about what it looked like when you first moved here.
Oh, yeah. No, it's insane. And that's what I always tell people, like 2010 Tulsa to now. And I recognize even 2010 Tulsa is leaps and bounds, you know, better than, I shouldn't say better, but leaps and bounds different than even Tulsa in that area in 2005 or 2000, right? So Tulsa has changed so much, and not in the way that I think it's the next Austin or the next anything, but just that it's its own community that has so much to offer uniquely to startups, to young professionals, to, I mean, really the demographics that I associate with right now, being a young female. In a way, I would say I'm an entrepreneur, right? Because I work for entrepreneurial people on some entrepreneurial projects. So, but also being in a position of getting to do some really great things for our community. I feel like if you're someone like myself in Tulsa right now, you're really in a great spot because you're 1 or 2 degrees of separation away from somebody who like believes in what you want to do and can connect you to somebody that will help you accomplish that. I think that's something that's really special and unique about Tulsa.
So that's interesting. You have an interesting perspective because you're from Austin. So you don't really necessarily like that phrase when people say Tulsa is becoming the new Austin.
I don't, for a couple of reasons. One, Austin has terrible traffic. So like never aspire to be Austin for the traffic, if nothing else. I mean, like Austin has its own character and personality that is Austin, but I don't think like Tulsa wouldn't be special anymore if Tulsa was the next Austin, because then it would just be Austin 2.0, right? And I don't think we want that. I will always love Austin. I love going, you know, I'm air quoting home there, right? I love visiting my parents and seeing my brother, and I love the live music and the food. But Tulsa has great live music. Tulsa has great food, but it's for Tulsa. It's not for Austin. So, no, I don't love the comparison just because I think it's Tulsa's selling itself short.
I like that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say that anymore then because I say it all the time. Well,
but I recognize people are so saying it from like the best place, right? Like it's 100% from like the most well-intentioned place, but I think it's selling Tulsa a little bit short. Like we can be our own city and be just as great.
Yeah.
We don't have to be somebody else.
Let Austin be the new Tulsa or the old.
Whatever. Yeah, exactly. I'm with you. I'm tracking.
So what do you see then with entrepreneuring in Tulsa within the next 10 years?
Yeah. I mean, I think you're going to just see more resources and more opportunity. More and more people are listening to the ideas that are coming out of Tulsa. There's more interest in what's happening in Tulsa. And so I think it's just going to continue to be a really great place to start a business and to innovate. You know, we have some great universities that, you know, great ideas are being built out of right now, right? And we have some incredible businesses that started here, a lot of them in the energy industry, right? But I mean, they've proven that you can start something here and you can scale it and you can grow it here. And so I think we'll just continue to see more and more being built and being scaled and being grown out of Tulsa. I really do think
young entrepreneurs, what do you think is their idea of moving to Tulsa to start a business now?
You know, I think if you're not from here, it's probably not the first place you're going to think of, right? But I think, so for those that grew up here, have maybe spent some time away from here and are considering boomeranging back, I think those individuals actually see Tulsa as a viable place, right? Because they see, like what you were saying, how much Tulsa has changed in the last 10 years in a progressive, innovative, supportive way for the business community and just generally as a place to like live, work, and play, right? And so, but for someone that hasn't had Tulsa on their radar at all, I think they have to come and visit. And we've seen, you know, there's a lot of organizations that have been emphasizing that idea of like, come visit Tulsa, like come spend a weekend here and see what it's like to live here and to exist here and see what the resources are and meet the people that live here, meet the people that are doing things similar to you and they're like-minded but also aren't like-minded and would challenge you and help you grow as an individual and as a business owner. So I think you have to be here. You have to come visit to understand. But honestly, when people come and visit, they're so surprised at how lovely people in Tulsa are, what exists here, like from a resource perspective, from a community perspective. And they really view Tulsa as somewhere that like I could live here and feel supported in accomplishing what my goals are. And that says a lot about a community because I can't say I've loved to travel. We've been a lot of places, but I don't know that I walk away from a lot of the places I visit like, oh, I would love to live there and I would feel super supported in reaching my goals in that community, right? I think that says a lot about what we have going for us in Tulsa and the people that are here and the work that's being done here.
Meredith Peoples, Chief Operating Officer of the Lobeck Taylor Family Foundation. Special thanks to KRMG's April Hill for the interview. This is Oklahoma Perspective for Cox Media Group. I'm Bert Williams.